Married at First Sight. Chapter 4101. Holden cursed under his breath but couldn't deny that Catherine possessed the cold, calculated cruelty typical of the Farrell family's head. Clarissa had grown particularly fond of Catherine in her later years, realizing that Catherine embodied the sharpness and ruthlessness inherent in the Farrell women. Yet, it was a cruel irony. Clarissa's most cherished daughter, the one she had protected and supported at all costs, ultimately turned her back on her. Sometimes, Holden wondered, if the butler hadn't switched her at birth, and Catherine had been raised alongside them, would things have been different? With Catherine's cunning, could she have stood up to the powerful families of Wiltspoon? One thing was certain: no matter what, Catherine wouldn't have treated her parents and brothers with such cold indifference. "Pedro is an enigma," Noel remarked, breaking Holden's thoughts. "We don't really know the extent of his abilities." Sage responded with confidence, "No matter how skilled he is, he's still just one man. Everyone has a weakness. If we strategize, we can handle him. Even if we can't eliminate him outright, we can at least get Catherine to send him away. If he's gone for even a day or two, I'll have my opening." The group nodded in agreement. Removing Pedro, even temporarily, was their best shot. The four Jansen family members huddled together, whispering about how to lure Pedro away and seize the opportunity to strike against Catherine. Meanwhile, the Farrell family mansion in Jensburg was bustling with activity. Catherine had invited many of the family elders for dinner, sparking widespread speculation. Some feared she might stage a hungmen banquet, much like her late mother, and eliminate them all. However, confidence grew when word spread that Liberty had moved into the Farrell mansion. Liberty was set to become the new head of the family, so the elders assumed Catherine wouldn't act recklessly. The primary reason for the gathering was to consult with the elders and choose an auspicious day for Liberty to officially take over as the Farrell family's leader. In truth, the decision rested solely with Catherine and Liberty. But appearances mattered. Liberty wanted to show respect to the elders, reassuring them that the new leadership valued their input and traditions. Back in Clarissa's time, decisions were made unilaterally. She'd inform the elders of her choices, expecting them to pass the word down to the younger generation. While occasional family meetings were held, they were largely symbolic. Clarissa never truly entertained their suggestions. Under Clarissa, the elders had been sidelined, and their influence diminished in favor of younger, more capable family members. Liberty, on the other hand, played the part of the gracious leader. She treated the elders to a lavish meal and sent them home with generous gifts. Everyone in the family received a token, but it was the elders who distributed the gifts among the branches, ensuring their positions remained relevant. After years of political maneuvering, the Farrell family had come to terms with reality. No matter who led, the side branches would always remain on the periphery. Their only hope for power lay in the unlikely event that the direct line failed to produce a female successor. But in over a century, the Farrell family's direct line had never been without an heir. Liberty, now divorced with one son, had recently remarried and was still in her 30s. It was expected she would try for another child, ideally, a daughter, to secure the family's future. Knowing this, the side branches resigned themselves to their roles, choosing instead to curry favor with Liberty and secure whatever benefits they could under her leadership. After all, Audrey's branch in Wiltspoon wasn't short on money. The Stone family's wealth far exceeded the Farrell family's current resources. The family dinner stretched late into the night, finally concluding at 11. After seeing off the guests, Liberty and Catherine sank into the living room sofa, exhaustion and a little wine making them slouch against the cushions. Married at First Sight. Chapter 4102. Chapter 4102. Catherine's cheeks were flushed as she turned to Liberty. "I really don't like this kind of socializing." Liberty sighed. "Neither do I, but there's no way around it. Even without taking over the Farrell family, their careers made avoiding such gatherings impossible." Catherine patted Liberty on the shoulder with a faint smile. "In the future, don't expect me to join you for these things. Everyone hides behind a mask, and no one speaks honestly. I despise the hypocrisy of it all. I won't let any of you down, Liberty replied firmly. Just then, Pedro walked in, carrying two cups of honey water. He handed them to Catherine and Liberty, saying, Miss, drink this. It'll help you feel better. I'm not drunk, Catherine muttered but still took the cup. Pedro chuckled. Your face is bright red, and you're insisting you're not drunk? At least you're not completely out of it. Liberty, equally flushed, wasn't as far gone either, just tipsy enough to be chatty. After sipping their honey water, the two women began to talk more freely, their inhibitions slightly lowered by the wine. Out of nowhere, Catherine looked at Pedro and said, You should leave Jensberg for a while. Pedro and Liberty both froze, staring at her in surprise. Liberty frowned. Catherine, what are you planning? If Mr. Fraser leaves Jensberg, you could be putting yourself in danger. Catherine leaned forward slightly, her tone calm but serious. I know my brothers too well. They won't give up, they want me dead. Liberty, you have powerful allies. They're afraid of you and wouldn't dare make a move. But I'm their sister. They know my strengths, and they know my weaknesses. Right now, Pedro is my only real protection. Without him, the bodyguards I've hired won't be enough. They'll come for me. Even though I said I'd stay in Jensberg for 6 months, Liberty, you're sharp, you know I don't have to stay that long. Before I leave, I need to deal with my brothers. They need to be put away for a few years, not killed, just locked up. That will buy you the time you need to solidify your position. By the time they're out, your authority will be unshakable, and they'll no longer be a threat. Liberty's gaze sharpened as she studied Catherine, understanding the weight of her words. Catherine was sparing her brother's lives. For all her ruthlessness, she couldn't bring herself to completely destroy her own family. But she also knew Liberty wouldn't be as forgiving. Once Catherine was gone, Liberty wouldn't hesitate to crush the Jansen brothers if they stepped out of line. Liberty had already envisioned the ways she would dismantle their power, ensuring they were left with nothing but regret, a fate worse than death. Catherine and Liberty exchanged a long, meaningful look, silently acknowledging the stakes. Finally, Liberty broke the silence. If you're planning to lure your brothers into a trap, Mr. Fraser can leave Jensberg publicly but return in secret to keep you safe. Don't take any chances, villains are the hardest to deal with. Catherine nodded, leaning back on the sofa and staring at the ceiling. She raised a hand to rub her temple. Of course. Pedro will make it seem like he's leaving on a business trip, but he'll come back quietly to protect me. Pedro, she added, turning to him, make sure they get close enough to think they can hurt me but not fatally. I need to deal with them, but I'm not about to lose my life over it. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4103. Chapter 4103. Pedro said worriedly, Miss, this is too dangerous. You don't know how to fight. What if something happens? Pedro couldn't bear the thought of Catherine getting into trouble. Even though Catherine wasn't expected to take over as head of the Farrell family, Pedro had been assigned to her by the base. Officially appointed, his duty was to protect and serve her. If something were to happen to Catherine, it would be his responsibility, and he would face accountability from the base, not just for failing her, but for tarnishing its reputation. Don't worry, I'll be fine, Catherine reassured him. Besides, you'll be protecting me from the shadows, Pedro. I trust you, and I trust myself too. I may not know how to fight formally, but I've been fighting my entire life. I have real combat experience. Liberty hesitated before asking, Catherine, are you sure about this? The three of them don't see you as their sister. Why risk yourself for them? If they truly want you dead, who's to say they won't try again? You've done everything you can to save their lives, but all they want is to take yours. They hate you for what they think you've done to the Farrell family, handing it over to outsiders. Frankly, Catherine, I think they hate you more than they hate me. The Janzen family's father and sons harbored deep resentment toward Catherine, but Liberty believed their hatred of Catherine burned even brighter. Even Catherine's older nephews and nieces, influenced by their father's bitterness, had started to resent her. Liberty promised, "I'll make sure they don't fall into my hands. I won't take their lives, so you don't need to put yourself at risk again." Catherine shook her head. "Liberty, you don't understand them like I do. They'll never stop, never let go, especially since my mother left most of her private property to me. That only fuels their hatred. They're desperate to take back what my mother left me, and they even want to sell the antiques in the Farrell family mansion. Those antiques have been passed down for generations, their family treasures. Even during the hardest of times, the heads of the family never considered selling them. But my brothers, they're different. They've already thought about it. There are also the jewels my mother left behind, heirlooms passed down through generations of family heads. Those aren't personal belongings, they're part of the family's wealth. The head of the family may wear or use them, but they belong to the family as a whole. Any one of those pieces could fetch a fortune. Our ancestors left those treasures behind to safeguard the family during times of crisis. In the past, if the family faced an economic emergency, a meeting would be called to decide whether to sell those heirlooms. The decision required the approval of at least half the clan. Back then, the clan held significant power, and even the family head had to respect the elders. But after my aunt and mother took over, they centralized power, stripping the clan of its authority. Now, in today's legal society, the clan's influence has faded. Still, the family's treasures aren't meant to be touched lightly. My mother, ruthless as people thought she was, never dreamed of taking those treasures for herself. And there's no way she'd let my three brothers have them either. Their last name is Janzen, not Farrell. Those things aren't theirs to take. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4104. Chapter 4104. Catherine understood her brothers all too well. She said firmly, "If we don't put an end to this once and for all, they'll keep coming back to stir up trouble. It'll become a constant hassle. It's better to finish it now." She continued, "They'll target me because they know you have powerful backers, Liberty. Eventually, they'll give up on you and focus entirely on me. To them, I'm the reason our family has ended up like this. They feel no brotherly love toward me, they can't wait to get rid of me. If they succeed, they may not gain the family's treasures, but they'll at least inherit my mother's private property." Catherine sneered, "I've already decided I'm going to draft a will. If something happens to me, all my assets will be divided into three parts. One portion will go to Pedro, another will be donated to the country, and the final part will go to you, Liberty." "Catherine! Miss!" Both Liberty and Pedro cried out in unison. Liberty's voice was serious as she said, "Don't talk like that. I don't want your inheritance. Whatever wealth you have, save it for your future children." Pedro added passionately, "Miss, I am yours in life and your ghost in death. As long as you're alive, Pedro exists. If anything happens to you, there will be no Pedro left in this world." His loyalty was absolute, he'd follow her in life and death. Catherine smiled softly. "I'm just talking. Nothing will happen to me, and I know that. Liberty, I trust you won't let anything happen to me. Pedro, I trust you even more. We still have our whole lives ahead of us. I want to have children and a future. So, I won't let anything happen to me, and neither will you. But my brothers, they must be dealt with. Even if they've treated me cruelly, I can't let them die. For the sake of our shared bloodline, I'll save their lives. Otherwise, they'll never understand how close they were to death." Catherine wasn't lying when she said she didn't set up the situation to bait her brothers. Their personalities made it inevitable that they'd provoke Liberty. Liberty might seem easygoing, but that was only because of her strong bond with Catherine. The two shared a mutual understanding and respect. But if Liberty was truly provoked, she wouldn't hold back. At just 15, Liberty had taken on the responsibility of raising her younger sister, Serenity. She didn't just raise her, she shaped her into an extraordinary individual. Liberty was anything but weak. Her years with Hank had been her lowest point, burdened by family, children, and the loss of her connection to the outside world. Those struggles had made her seem vulnerable. But after the divorce, Liberty had rebuilt herself. She lost weight, regained her confidence, launched her own business, and now carried herself with undeniable self-assurance. She was still the fourth young lady of the Lewis family. If Marco and his brothers fell into Liberty's hands, mercy wouldn't even be a consideration. The two families were mortal enemies. There was no reason for Liberty to go easy on them. Since Liberty understood Catherine's plan, Catherine didn't bother hiding her intentions anymore. Seeing Catherine's determination, Liberty chose not to argue further. Pedro, however, couldn't shake his unease. He vowed to himself that, no matter what, he wouldn't let Catherine's life be endangered, not even at the cost of his own. But the thought of Catherine's plan, which required her to put herself in harm's way, made his heart ache. "Miss," Pedro suggested, "why don't we set up an economic trap to lure them in? That way, we can deal with them without putting you at such great risk." Married at First Sight, Chapter 4105. Chapter 4105. Without my mother and the Farrell group backing them, they're cautious about investments. But caution takes time, and I want quick results, Catherine said firmly. She continued, "Just do as I say. For them, it's simple violence, but for me, it's a swift victory." Catherine had no patience for elaborate economic schemes. To her, the intelligence of her three brothers didn't justify the effort. If they wanted her dead, she'd give them the chance. And if she survived, their bad luck was inevitable. Even when her mother was alive, she had been clear with Catherine, if her brothers ever turned against her and caused trouble, she shouldn't hesitate to act decisively. Her mother had always said, "I'm a mother, and I could never bring myself to harm my sons." At the time, Catherine thought her mother was harsh. After all, the woman had even harmed her own sister, who had raised Catherine. But her mother had always put the Farrell family above everything else. Whoever jeopardized its interests, son or not, faced her wrath. Now, reflecting on those words, Catherine felt her mother's cold resolve in herself. She truly was her mother's daughter. Her brothers shared that same cruelty, but they lacked her mother's cunning. Once Catherine set her mind on something, no one could change it. Seeing her determination, Liberty and Pedro stopped trying to persuade her. That night, Liberty stayed at the Farrell family mansion for the first time. But no matter how hard she tried, she couldn't sleep. In the middle of the night, she texted her husband, Duncan. "Hubby, are you asleep? I moved into the Farrell family mansion today, but I can't sleep. Maybe I just don't feel like I belong here yet." The mansion had been home to Clarissa's family for decades. Catherine had already cleared out the master bedroom, erasing all traces of their mother. Although it was the traditional room for the head of the family, Liberty had no desire to sleep there. For now, she stayed in a guest room. Catherine had suggested hiring a decorator to renovate the master bedroom before Liberty officially moved in. Each head of the family typically renovated the mansion upon taking over, ensuring its preservation through generations. Though Liberty was the successor, she hadn't yet led the clan in their ancestral worship ceremony, so her position wasn't official. Renovating the mansion wasn't a priority for her right now. She decided she would undertake the renovations later, once she had solidified her position and gained everyone's support. The current decor, updated during Clarissa's tenure, felt outdated for modern times. After sending the message, Liberty checked the clock, 3 a.m. Duncan was surely asleep. She didn't expect a reply. On impulse, she texted Serenity instead. Since Serenity was pregnant, She often woke in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. Soon, Serenity responded. She'd just gotten up for water and sent a low-voiced audio message, likely to avoid waking Zachary. You're not used to it yet, but you will be. Treat it like your home, and you'll eventually sleep well, Serenity said softly. She added, that's where our mother lived as a child. If you sleep there, maybe she'll visit you in your dreams. If she were alive, she'd be so proud to know you've moved in and are carrying on Grandma's legacy. Hearing that, Liberty's heart felt lighter. Serenity even mentioned wanting to visit Jensberg and stay at the Farrell family mansion herself.